this new study, a landmark study, that shows what makes a successful relationship. The study's lead author, also an assistant professor at Western University in London, Ontario, Samantha Joel, is with us. And Professor, glad to have you.
Thank you for having me.
It sounds like the gist of this study is that list we made of all the qualities we wanted to have in a partner won't necessarily make for a good relationship. Is that about right?
Yeah, I think that's a good summary. Partners' traits and personality features weren't very good predictors when compared to features of the relationship itself. It's all about the relationship that you build.
And what would you consider a successful relationship? How long do you have to be together?
Well, the thing we were predicting is relationship satisfaction. So you tell us if your relationship is successful or not. Are you enjoying your time with your partner? Do you enjoy your relationship? Do you feel like it's a good relationship?
Yeah. And hopefully the other person feels the same way. That's the trick, isn't it?
Exactly.
So what did this study find? What kinds of things did you look at and what did you find out?
Yeah, so what we did was we took about 11,000 couples who had been recruited from about six different countries and collected lots of different measures, individual differences, relationship variables. So individual differences are personality variables like neuroticism or agreeableness, and relationship variables are things like how much conflict you have or sexual satisfaction. And then we use machine learning to try to predict how happy people were in their relationships, both now and about a year later. And basically what we found is that the relationship variables did a much, much better job than the traits.
Okay, so it's not exactly. So if that person doesn't look like, for example, somebody that you might naturally have affection for, don't count them out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair conclusion. Yeah.
Okay, so there's one of them. So in the meanwhile, I mean, it must have been interesting too to give these couples these questionnaires when they got together and a year later. What did you find?
What did we find?
I mean, did you find a difference in terms of it being a brand new relationship versus 1 year down the line?
Oh, yeah. Well, so the couples had been together for a whole range of times. So some of the samples we collected were like married samples. Others were newly dating samples.
Okay.
But obviously, we had a much better time predicting relationship quality at the initial time point than down the road. It's harder to predict change, and it's harder to predict things that are further away. But we were still able to predict relationship quality 1 year later.
And so what does all of this mean for the way that we date, Samantha?
Yeah, I mean, my summary is that relationship happiness is not so much about choosing the right person as it is about building the right relationship, but that the relationship is more than the sum of its parts. And it's sort of that dynamic that you have with a person, you know, the shared experiences you have, the in-jokes that you have, the memories that you make. It's really that dynamic itself is so much more than the two individuals that go into it. And so it's all about building the right relationship from the ground up.
So don't expect much from swiping right or left, it sounds like.
Yeah, I don't think we can predict. We can't predict whether you're going to be happy with someone until you actually get with them and see what that relationship is like.
Were there particular things that you found in this study, Samantha, that represented the kinds of things that universally go wrong in a relationship?
Well, I think it's interesting that a lot of the sort of stereotypical topics of conflict made the list. You know, there's a lot of talk about the importance of sexual satisfaction in relationships and couples arguing over sex. And we did find that sexual satisfaction was a really important factor. It was one of our most robust predictors.
Yeah, I would think.
On the Yeah. On the other hand, in-laws is another one of those things that people say, people argue about, and that didn't make the list. Also, things like income weren't very good predictors. So there were some surprises in there about not just what the best predictors were, but what the best predictors weren't.
Yeah, that's very interesting, too. And what about commitment? Is there a way, obviously, that's got to be a huge factor, how much one partner is invested via another versus another?
Yeah, perceived partner commitment is actually our best predictor. So how committed you think your partner is. So whether you think that your partner is in it for the long haul, is a huge, robust predictor of your relationship satisfaction, how happy you are in that relationship.
And it's interesting that number five on this list that predicted a person's satisfaction, number five is conflict. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, conflict is unpleasant. I think there has to be some degree of conflict.
Yeah.
But too much conflict kills the vibe. I mean, you would have to look more into exactly what the pattern was, because we did use machine learning, and these relationships aren't necessarily linear. So if you go and you look really closely at what exactly conflict is doing in the models, it might be that, you know, a certain amount is good, but then too much is bad or something like that. It might not just be like a one-to-one relationship. But we would have to run follow-up analyses to see.
And are you planning to do any follow-up with these 100,000, or was it 10,000 people that you, 11,000 people, couples that you followed?
So each data set is an amalgamation of 43 different data sets, and each data set belongs to its own group of researchers who have done lots of analyses on their own data set. So my job was really to combine them and add them all up and take this really bird's eye view of, you know, when you put them all together, what do we have? I'll leave it up to the individual researchers and my collaborators to, you know, dig more deeply into their specific data sets and their specific variables that they have to look at that more fine-grained approach.
Let me ask you this, Samantha. Did, you know, figuring all of this out and coming to these conclusions about relationships change the way that you operate in the world?
I wouldn't say so. I would say that it's pretty consistent with my priors. I've been studying relationships a long time, and I think this is consistent with what I expected. The one thing that really shocked me was the lack of partner effects. I thought that, your partner's personality would be more important than it is. But for the most part, I think the results make sense. They're intuitive.
Does any of this matter how people met? Does that have any impact, do you think, or based on the information that you've received, does how you met your partner matter?
I don't remember that being a variable that was in too many of the data sets we have, mm-hmm. but I have seen other data on it. Like, are you thinking about if you meet online versus offline? I've seen some data on that, and basically what it looks like, not this project, but other data, basically what it looks like is as soon as that couple is, you know, an in-person relationship, it looks basically identical whether you met online or offline. So that first little bit is different, but then the pattern converges. You know, as soon as you're seeing each other in person, you're following the same trajectory.
And what's the best place for people to discover this particular study, Samantha? Where can we find it?
Where can you find it? Well, it's published in PNAS, but CNN did a nice piece on it, or you could find it at my Twitter. I've been tweeting about it. My Twitter is at Dating Decisions.
Hot Dating Decisions. Okay, very good.
At Dating Decisions.
Thank you. That's different than Hot Dating Decisions. At Dating Decisions. Yeah, thank you for making that difference. Samantha Joel is one of the lead authors on this study, and you can find it in an article at CNN.com as well. And Samantha, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Good luck in relationships moving forward.
Thanks.
All right.
You too.